So we are on page 268 in the top numbers. We're in the middle of chapter 22 in the Hebrew. It says, Kamei Avarachaman, the big letters there, and it's the first paragraph on the left side, is analogous and compassionate, wise and righteous father. This letter is a leave me alone letter from the Alter Rebbe, who in ways of, you know, there's ways of saying leave me alone, there's ways of saying leave me alone. Yeah. It's like this is a standard Jewish way, is like the best way to get things done is through guilt.
Yes.
This is like, what kind of business? You're asking a rabbi for business and legal and these type of affairs.
Yeah.
And just wants to be, is willing to be addressed as far as rabbinic ideas are concerned, but not this other stuff. So he says, Ukamo avarachaman tzadik hamake b'no. It says, things happen to people. For example, you have a merciful, wise, and righteous father who, for whatever reason happens to be, smacks his son. So that, first of all, requires a little bit of discussion. Mm-hmm. Remember, we're not politically correct. It says in the Talmud that a father that does not smack their kid doesn't love them. Now, it doesn't say when or why or how often it is that a father has to smack their child, but it has to be done in such a way that the child understands that the father is doing this, the parent is doing this as a sense of love of the child.
Right.
Okay, so therefore, we cannot condone cruelty.
Not for sure.
We cannot control abuse.
No.
Any of that type of stuff. But if a father hauls off and wallops his kid when the kid really needs it, so then that's
correct thing.
The correct thing to do. Because we see that there is a story involving the Rebbe Rashab when he was 8 years old. Okay, came home and he's all upset. So he said, his father asked him, the Marash, what happened? Why are you so upset? He said, my Rebbe hit me. So the way the story goes is that the Marash stood up and took off his belt and said, why did your Rebbe hit you? Meaning to say, if he hits you, maybe I deserve to hit you too.
Uh-huh.
Now you're talking to Marash and the Rashab. What the reason was behind it, okay, we're not going into it right now. We told that story before.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we see that there are certain instances where it warrants it. So he says about this father who hits his kid, and this is not so much about the kid, father, it's about the kid. She'ein leben chacham lahapich ora lanasa lemaitse le'ezrei. It says, if the kid was smart, he wouldn't turn around and run away to find somebody to help him.
Mm.
It feels melitz yeshur, somebody to act as an advocate on his behalf, lifnei avav harachem on behalf tzadik hachosid, because in front of his merciful, righteous father. If his father is an abusive SOB, so that's another thing that we're talking about.
No.
He uses lots of words over there, and this is the only instance in which a father can hit a kid is if he is a merciful, righteous, pious father.
Exactly.
Rakli Yeshu Yachzer Panav Im Avo Panim BePanim Lispol Hakasa Me'Avo L'Tayv Lo Kol Hayamim. But the kid should understand. He should stand there and let himself get hit.
Right.
It's a hard thing to tell a kid to do, because he should understand that his father loves him.
Yeah.
And this is a love which will endure. Now, that statement of this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me, that never rang true with me. what can I tell you? I'm sorry. So we're talking about, so why is it that all people are writing the Alter Rebbe, and why is it that people write the Rebbe, is they have problems.
Right.
Okay, and like I tell people all the time, who's responsible for your problems? Well, actually, there's two parts to that question. Okay. The Almighty is the one who created the situation, and therefore you could say, he made the mess, he cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
The other way of looking at it is it's only a problem because I'm making it a problem.
Yeah.
You have situations. Like I said, I think I said this last week. You have a situation that warrants your immediate attention in that you must breathe around 20 times a minute. And if you don't breathe 20 times a minute, you will die. Okay? Yet, nobody, except now when I'm talking about it, everybody's going, yeah. So nobody even thinks about that. So that situation, which is critical that it be taken care of, no one considers that a problem because they're not making it into a problem. But that's something that really warrants and needs our doing it. We have to act. So any other thing that we have that we call a problem is a problem because we're calling it a problem. Okay? So hine lemail bechinas panim hu aratzen v'achishak asher avinu shebashemayim mashpil levanav kol tev olamim. So it says, now, taking this into account, you're writing the Alter Rebbe because you have a problem. So he says, why is it a problem? Hashem is showing his inner will and his desire that our Father in heaven should direct to his children all good, or every good, always. V'chaya nefesh v'guf, with his life, with his soul, with his body, that Hashem is doing this with love and desire, with a wanting and a lusting. And this is all seen within the guise of the Teres Chaim. This is one of the things that is suggested in the books. Is if a person has a problem, okay, to the point where they're like losing sleep, they're having palpitations, they're getting sick, so, hit the books. It says, for example, if a person has a serious headache, you should learn Gemara. And because the learning of the Gemara, because now what he's doing is the way it's explained spiritually, is that he's tapping into the will of Hashem and the wisdom of Hashem. So he's opening up a channel between him and Hashem. It'll take the headache away. You could explain it, well, as long as I'm doing anything to relax and divert my mind, the headache is going to go away, depending if it's like a tension headache, so I don't longer tense, so I don't have a headache. You can explain it any way you like.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Torah also acts as a psychiatrist.
Right.
The Torah provides any answer that you have, any answer that you need is in the Torah.
Is in the Torah, correct.
Okay. There's a, did I tell the story last time, not too long ago? Guy goes to a rabbi, and he says, Rabbi, I'm really having serious business problems with my business, and it's failing, and it's all types of things. There's all this and that. And this is the rabbi says to him, listen, I am not a businessman. Did I say this recently? He said, but there is this idea that if a person were to open a chumash at random, somewhere on that page, Hashem is directing an answer to that person. So he says, why don't you try that? This is fine. A couple of weeks go by, he sees the guy in the street, the guy is happy, he's like, you know, he's in a good mood, and he says, so what happened? He said, Rabbi, I want to thank you, such wonderful advice you gave me. He says, what'd you do? He says, well, I opened up a chumash at random, and right at the top of the page, it said, chapter 11. So, anyway...
Indeed, yes.
So now, how you take your answers from the page remain to be seen.
That was God's will, I guess.
Yes, indeed.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, good. Anyway. So the answer's all there. It's all in Torah. Okay, so now, I wanted to tell this last week. I don't think I did. When I was, did I tell you about Zalman Savransky last week?
Mm-mm.
I should listen to the class from one week to the next. I know what I said last week, at least. one of the founding Lubavitchers of the Melbourne community was Zalman Savransky. He came after, he was one of five or six families that went to Australia from the DP camps following World War II.
Okay.
Okay, before that, there were just there was one Lubavitcher family, Feiglin, and who were they were Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, not the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe Rishab, who had sent his he had gone to Israel first. And he wasn't making it, so he went down to Australia, and he actually became very wealthy. And he sponsored these five families.
Wow.
And Zalman Serebransky said, "I'm not working in apple orchards picking fruit for other people."
Wow.
And he set up a Lubavitcher yeshiva. That's what he did.
Wow.
And the Lubavitcher Moistes in Melbourne, which are quite extensive, are all because of the work of Zalman Serebransky. Mm-hmm. People refer to him as the Tzaddik of Melbourne.
Wow.
He, until into his 80s, went to every bris, every bar mitzvah, every wedding, every funeral in Melbourne. There's 100,000 Jews.
Whoa.
Okay, he would walk in, and people that had nothing to do with nothing from Yiddishkeit, he would walk in and go, "Reb Zalman!" You know, he was the dude.
Wow.
Okay? So, he was an amazing man. Because I approached him, and I said to him, "Reb Zalman, I would like to learn with you."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it had to be something, he said, "Oh, listen, I'll be honest with you. It has to be something that I want to learn." He said, "If you want to learn Lakuti Torah with me, forget it." Okay? He probably knew Lakuti Torah by heart. I mean, you know, so... So I told him I wanted to learn Shalah. And he said, "Oh, I never thought about learning Shalah. Ooh, ah, was a bris by Yeshaya Horowitz, the predecessor to the Baal Shem Tov."
Mm.
Okay, it was like the generation before, and was older than the Stern. It's a very beautiful, incredible stuff. Okay, so I'm sitting there with him, and people would come and they'd ask him questions.
Mm.
So somebody came in and asked him a question about a stock. Okay, should I buy this stock? And he answered him, he said, "No, this one you shouldn't buy." Okay, so the guy left, I said, "Reb Zalman, you know about stocks?" And he said, "He came to me because I have because I'm involved with Torah and Kli Kodesh," he says, "I have a clear way of thinking. That by him, he's thinking just in dollar signs. He sees there's a possibility of dollar signs, and I'm seeing, looking at the whole picture." Which is what learning Gemara and learning Chassidus does, is it gives you the whole picture. Now, if people come and ask me my advice about buying stocks, I kind of shrug my shoulders and say, "I don't know." Okay, because what's going to happen? I'm going to tell the guy, "Buy it, it's going to tank."
Right.
I'm going to tell the guy, "Don't buy it, it's going to go skyrocket through the roof."
Right.
So he's never going to talk to me ever again.
Right.
So I don't give stock advice.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, but he explained that a chacham should, maybe not a chacham, that would solve everything. It would solve all the problems that I have. I'm just not a chacham. But anyway, he said that a person who has a clear outlook, because the Torah, it's a Torah outlook,
mm-hmm.
would be able to discern even mundane matters. Asher Avinu v'Shem Hashviel Chaim Shehu Rasan Yisbarach Asher Nasta Lanu that Hashem gave to us. K'mo Shekasa Kibo Or Panach Nasata Lanu Teres Chaim. As we say it's every day in Davening, because with the light of your face you gave to us a living Torah. Losses, and what did Hashem give us the Torah for? Losses Bar Ratzaynai, in order that we do with it, with the Torah, what Hashem wants. Perkei Avos, it says it very clearly and very succinctly. You are going to have a yoke around your neck. And the yoke is going to be attached to a very heavy burden. You have a choice of one of two yokes. You can either take upon yourself the yoke of heaven,
or
what's going to be put on you is going to be the work, the yoke of the world.
The cares of this world, that's right.
Okay, for sure. So it says you can't just say, "No, I don't want either one." Okay, Hashem's really basically saying there's no vacuum.
Right.
You choose to do what Hashem wants. Hashem says, "Okay, fine, I'll take care of the other yoke." You say, "No, I'm not doing that." So Hashem says, "Fine, you take care of that one, I'll take care of mine." So a person's going to have responsibilities. A person is going to have an absolute need that gets them out of bed besides going to the bathroom.
Mm.
So like this, that a person feels compelled, what gets me out of bed? I'm not patting myself on the back, but I know if I sleep in, what happens? Then things start falling off on my morning.
That's right, the day's wasted.
Yeah, and what happens is I have to do, there's certain things I have to do, and there's certain things that are like, you know, they're not so have-tos.
Right.
Like the half hour, 45 minutes of Chassidus that I learned before davening.
Mm.
Okay, if I sleep in 45 minutes,
I don't get it.
I don't get to learn Chassidus.
Right.
So, and that makes me, and then what happens is,
it really screws up the rest
not so much that, but now my Yetzer Hara kicks in.
Right.
And says, look, you didn't learn Chassidus today. What kind of davening are you going to have?
Exactly.
And I feel really bad about the fact that I didn't daven.
Right, right.
I didn't learn Chassidus.
Screws up the rest of your day.
And then it's like, you know, my Yetzer Hara then really kicks in.
Right.
So,
it screws up the rest of your day.
So I'd rather not have to go through that.
Exactly.
So the alarm clock goes off, I get out of bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. The person, on the other hand, has to be at work at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the alarm clock goes off at 6 o'clock, I get to get up at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. I got to be there at 7. You know, I could get fired if I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay? So the Almighty says, you're going to have one of them. Okay? And the Almighty suggests, it doesn't say over there, throw off the yoke of the world so you can accept the yoke of Torah.
Mm-mm.
It says, don't throw off the yoke of Torah, so that way what will happen is you'll be accepting upon yourself the yoke of the world.
Right.
So our natural state of existence for a Jew is Torah and mitzvahs. It fits into the guise that you take care of God and God will take care of you.
Right.
I've been saying it already almost my whole life. About this it says, by the light of the face of the living king and his will. So that's now the relationship that Hashem has with the Jewish people, because we are, as it says, B'ni B'chari Yisrael, my son, my firstborn Israel. So the Jews are called the firstborn. Everybody else is called the next born.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, anybody will tell you there's no middle child over here. It's either you're Jewish or you're a Gentile. You know, Mashenken le'umas le'ev de galulim, which is not the case with the idol worshippers. Mashpia chaya gufim shaloi beratzim v'cheshech v'chavetza. What they're getting it is not directly from an inner will and desire. They are not here. Hashem did not create. Let's put it this way. Hashem created the world in order to make it a dwelling place down here for the divine presence.
Right.
And he gave the Jews that primary mission of doing that. And that included having to do the 613 mitzvahs to facilitate that goal.
Right.
In Hashem, so Hashem's direct reason for creating the world is for the Jewish souls to become into a body. The Jewish souls existed before there were Jews.
Right.
That's what the deal with Abraham was, is Abraham merited that his progeny should inherit the Jewish souls that had been created before creation.
Right.
The other souls of the world, so you got to have other people around. You know, it doesn't make them less than.
No.
It makes the rest of the world necessary, but not what the world was created for. Lekach nikra elokim acherim. That's why the nations of the world are referred to as other gods. Sheyankim elokimis acharayim. They're called acherim, other. Acherim is related to the word acharayim, behind the back.
Right.
So these other gods are getting their life force. It's interesting that we call them. This is the word idol is more correct than it's referred to in the Chumash as Elohim Acherim. Mm-hmm. Elohim Acherim means other gods. So that means to say that there is something there, and they refer to Hashem as Elokai, the Elokaya, the God of gods.
Right.
So that's already what we're doing there, is we're giving power
to something else.
To something else. And the answer is, well, yeah. Because you look, you'll see by what it says in Rashi brings it down, in Chumash, about Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law.
Mm.
that he worshipped every idol before he came to Judaism and came under Kanfei Hashkina, under the wings of the divine presence, shadow of God.
Right.
Okay, so what does that mean? He'd see a rock and he'd bow down to it. He'd see he'd bow down to it. He'd there's the sun, let me bow down to it. And he'd think to himself, you know, it doesn't make sense I should do this. Let's find another rock to bow down to. No, that's stupid. What Yisro was able to do, because Yisro was a smart person, was analyze the source, the life source.
Right.
Of this worship, where it's coming from.
Right.
When he started out, so he was the Kohen of Midian. He's the main guy. He's the oracle. He's the one that people are going to act on behalf of them, whatever god Midian had. So he must have settled, thought, oh, you know what? This is the best one out there. Until Moshe came along.
Right.
And he went, whoa, that's much better.
Right.
Okay, so that indicates that
there were energies.
There are energies.
Yes.
Not were, are energies.
Are energies.
But that energy is not bipnimius. It's not punim bipunim.
Right.
You with me, Mike?
I think so. It's
not face to face. It's not like this is really what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't really want people to worship idols. But understanding that there are these people who are worshiping idols, and therefore Hashem is giving them the life force through this idol, which is in a way of acharayim, behind the back.
Right.
It's necessary that they be there. As I would say, should pardon the expression, evil is a necessary evil.
I've killed it pretty well.
Yeah, so Hashem needs all these things to exist, but that's not why the world was created. Okay, the world was not created for us to have free choice. The world was created for us to do the right thing all the time. The free choice makes it such that we were accomplishing it on our own.
That had, yes.
Rather than just being pre-programmed.
Right.
Okay, because Hashem could have made a dwelling place down here without us too.
Right.
He could have said, okay, here I am. This is where we are.
Right.
So kahu ba adam harasim v'chayshak hu ba'vukin is punim. So this should also be with the person. A person should understand, I'm getting my life force directly from Hashem face to face. And if a person is not accepting this willingly, then it's like he's turning away and running away. Okay, now there is this discussion about what's referred to as Mikabel Yisurim Ba'ava. Okay? There are things that are going to happen to people that they're not going to like happen to them. And how do they deal with it? Okay, so and right at the beginning of the Gemara, on Daf Hey of Masechta Brachos, it's only 4 pages in, it discusses, well, why do things happen to people? So it says over there, the first thing you should look at is your sins. That's the first thing, because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. If the person does a mitzvah, they're connecting themselves to Hashem. When they're doing something wrong, they're blocking up the tubes, and it could very well be that the chayis is not getting through to them. And if it is that the chayis is not getting through to them, you'll do tshuva, and tshuva becomes like a rotor thing over there. It's like getting your pipes snaked out,
right,
and all the blockages get cleared out, and then all the things come back. That's what it says in the Gemara, except you don't use the rotor.
Right.
But then it says, what happens if a person looked and said,
right,
I don't have any sins.
There's nothing going on. Right.
There's nothing. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
So it says, maybe it's bittul teira. Maybe a person has the opportunity to learn, and they're not learning enough. Now, bittul teira means, also, for example, if everybody's around sitting at the table over here, you notice in the front of the Lubavitch sitter, before the davening, there's the olive base chart.
Right.
Which, why it's there, is a whole thing in and of itself. Okay, so let's say you're thinking, you know, I got some time now. I'm going to review my olive base. And I'm going to open up that book, and I'm going to turn to the first page over there, and you start reading, olive base, gimel. What are you doing right now? You're wasting time. That's called bittul teira. Because you're beyond that.
Right.
It says if a person can learn Gemara and they spend their time learning Mishnah, so they're wasting their time. Okay, so that it does say that a person should spend time learning Mishnah too, but the focus should be that if he has time to learn Gemara, he should learn Gemara. And likewise, if a person can learn Mishnah and is only learning Navi, so then he's wasting his time. It's called Bittul Torah.
Right.
Okay, but I tell people, well, how many from Jews have gone through the whole Nach? You know, it's really, not a whole lot.
To me. Really. I went through it all.
Yeah, it's like, hello.
And there's a lot there to go through.
Never mind non-from Jews.
I don't get it either.
I mean, you tell people.
Tons of what to go through. Right?
You tell a person who's lacking in Jewish education, you tell them about the book of Nehemiah, they go, what? You know, you say it in English, you know, Nehemiah?
Yeah.
I said, who? What? Who,
right,
what are you talking about? Is that in the New Testament?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Nehemiah. It's a book in the Tanakh. You know, not only they never learned it, they never heard of it.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says you could say maybe this person, the reason why this is happening to them is because of Bittul Torah, they're wasting time.
Yeah.
Then it says the person analyzes himself further and he says, I'm not wasting time. So it says at that point, so then okay, so then you can call them at that point, you can call them Yisurim Shel Ahava.
Right.
You should call them afflictions of love.
Right.
As it says, Hashem, what was the expression? Come on, we say it on Wednesdays. I can never quote Pesukim. Hashem Oyev Hocheach. Huacheach, or something like that. The one that Hashem loves, he reproves.
Right.
Get it to indicate that Hashem wants, how much does Hashem want you to do? Hashem wants you to do more. Okay, Hashem's going to put this block in the road obstacle, this quote-unquote problem, in order for you to get out of autopilot and kick it into gear.
And it's certainly not for his sake.
No. Okay, so then it talks, the Gemara continues. Yeah. What about Negayim? What about children dying? These things. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan said, even children dying is afflictions of love. And Rabbi Yochanan carried with him a small bone, and he said, this small bone is from my 10th son that died. He lost 10 children.
Wow.
Okay, and there's a whole thing of the Gemara, happy to be carrying around a bone.
Yeah,
he says it was a very small bone. I don't know if it was a Kohen, but not. But it was a very small bone that didn't have the
enough quantity to make tummy.
It's still pretty macabre. But he said reminded him. He says he carries it around because it reminds him how much Hashem loves him.
Yeah, that's
okay. So it's not going to. So we're not going to say that a person is going to be smiling all the time. I mean, ideally, you know, it's like. Yeah, if a person says, my kid just died, yeah, I'm so happy because Hashem loves me. No, that's...
Call the sack.
We're not going to go there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But we should understand is Ein Ra Yored Min HaShemayim. There's no bad comes from heaven.
That's right.
Va'etza, is that where I'm up to? Ha'ava v'rasi ki'ilu ha'ipachar yeh. Va'etza ha'yu'utza l'kabel ba'ava hu etzis Hashem b'pi chazal. So it says, he quotes the Gemara. The advice given that a person should accept these with love is, as our sages say, "Lefashas b'maisa v'yematzala avaynis atzrichas merak v'yisarim." It says a person should look through his deeds, and he should see that it could be that yisurim, these problems that he's having, are there in order to cleanse the impurities caused by the sin. In Hebrew, there's no word for sin. There's all kinds of words that we use to mean sin. One of them is chet. Chet means a nick or a dent.
Right.
Or pagam. Pagam means like a stain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happens when a person does these things is it creates nicks, dents, stains, bangs it up. You know, this all gets all bent out of shape, you might say. It doesn't function properly because it's not in alignment.
Yeah.
So these afflictions of love, you might say, act as a cleaning service to get rid of these the ramifications of these... These misdeeds. Okay, but Yirlein Godel Avosa Allah Makalkal Hashuraka, and it says to recognize that it's out of love that this road is is being, cleansed by affliction. K'mashal ha-melech gadol v'neira, ha-reiches b'kavoyde v'atzmei tzoyes b'nai yechidei, mereva ha-vasei. It says, you can imagine, how does a king feel when he's changing the dirty diaper of his only son, the crown prince?
Right.
Okay? He's happy to do it.
Sure.
You know, this is his kid. This is going to be the crown. This is going to be the king one day.
Right.
Okay? You can't have the king there with, like, you know, a dirty diaper.
Right.
So here it is. The king is doing this. The king is cleaning up the mess. So it's the same thing also with Hashem. Mm. What do you need to clean up a dirty diaper? You need hot water. You need soap. You need a towel. You know, maybe if it's been there for a while, you have to scrub a little bit.
Right, yeah, sure.
You know, the kid's not happy that it's happening.
Right.
But the father loves his kid. He doesn't want him to sit around in a filthy diaper.
Right.
So Hashem does the same thing also. He says, look, this kid's all schmutzy. I got to clean him up. As it says, well, Hashem will watch the filth of the daughters of Zion. Ruach mishpat, with a spirit of justice. Yeah, so it's the right thing that's happening. Hashem's already figured out this person's got this. They need this to do it, to act as an antidote to it. So now, here's a general rule. They're taken from the expression, the face that you show in the water is the face that that reflects back.
Right.
Meaning to say, if a person's going to stop and think that this is all happening because Hashem loves me,
right.
So what's going to be the reaction? If somebody loves you, what is your natural response?
Is
to love them back.
Sure.
So here we see that this is happening because Hashem loves them. And Hashem, if this is happening this way, Hashem loves me, so Hashem, I'm going to love Hashem back. Which is better than all the things, all the life of the world. As it says, how precious is your kindness. Your kindness is better than life.
Right.
This level of kindness that we're talking about is the godliness which is coming down into all worlds. As it says, he supports all life with kindness. We say that every day in Davening. As Gam Hashem Yitin Tov Yar Panav Alav Bevachinus Ava Megula. So then, what will happen is once a person realizes that this is only happening because Hashem loves them, so Hashem could clean up the way and clean this guy's mess up in such a way that the person says, "Yeah, this is a great thing that's happening to me." Not that there's something bad happening and they're fooling themselves to thinking, "Oh, this is good. This is for the best." That's one thing. Okay, Gamzu L'Tova means this stinks, but I trust Hashem and this is going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. That's what Gamzu L'Tova means, which is already a level to achieve. But Hashem could make it such that it really is L'Tova and you see that what's happening to you is L'Tova. Right. Not that you're looking at it as a... It's like, you see, Ein Ra Yorei Meshamayim. This is a good thing. That's how you yourself are causing, right. Saying that this is a good thing.
Right.
Okay, it says, by the way, it's the question is asked, what does it mean Yisurim from Ava? What does Hashem have to do to afflict a person? So it says, one of the things that people do just by nature is they check for their wallet. Okay, men especially, that we keep our wallets in our pockets. We have this paranoia that every once in a while we go like this just to make sure that our wallet's there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens, you put your hand in your right pocket to see your wallet is there, and it's not there. What happens right now? You have this panic, okay? And in that instance, you put your hand in the left pocket, and that's where you had your wallet. Okay, that's called an affliction of love. Okay, what did it cost you? It didn't cost you anything. But, as he said back in Geras HaTshuva, a little shadow moves an inch because the earth and the sun and the whole rest of the universe moved millions of miles to make that little shadow move an inch.
Right.
It's okay. And so when you're running around looking for your car keys, So it says it also. It's Hashem is helping you to get rid of, saves a person from kafa kela and punishment of the world to come, because he's looking here and there Okay, so now the new affliction is trying to find the cordless phone.
Yes.
Where's my phone? Where's the phone? It's ringing. It's like, as soon as the phone rings, you know, you got to answer it. You panic. Oh, I got to answer the phone. But you can't find it because it's not connected by a cord.
Yeah.
Let's just finish up to the big thing over here. So what basically happens at this point is, once a person understands the relationship that he has with Hashem,
right,
what he then causes to happen is what we refer to as afflictions and punishment is coming from Gevurah. And by recognizing that it's not Gevurah, but it's really an Ava which is coming down through Gevurah. And we understand, this is just happening because Hashem loves me.
Right.
What that then does is, it sweetens the severities, is the expression.
Right. Yes.
So that what's coming down is not coming down to the person in a way of some sort of a harsh decree, a severity, a problem, a task, or this. It's coming down as a wonderful thing.
Right.
So it says that Hashem has many ways of testing us. And it tells us that there's a test of wealth, a test of poverty. Okay? So, because wealth is also a test. And it says that the test of wealth is actually harder than the test of poverty.
I'm sure it must be.
But if Hashem would want to test me with that, okay. We say lovely day Nisayan every day. But if I had a choice, if I have a choice of poverty or wealth, okay, Hashem, you could test me with wealth, if it has to be one of those two. So, to be continued. Yeah.